Today, on the exam room.
October 1st, 2019, I found myself rushing into the ER. I remember opening the door, scanning the room, trying to look for him, and I saw him. He was in the corner in a wheelchair, slumped over, and he looked like he'd aged 50 years.
Welcome to the Exam Room Podcast, brought to you by the Physicians Committee. Hi, I am the weight loss champion, Chuck Carroll, raising health IQs coast to coast and around the world. Hi to the Exam Roomies listening in West Valley City, Utah, Eugene, Oregon, and Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. Wherever you are, we appreciate you helping to make the world a healthier place. This is episode 11 of season 8, number 610 overall. And quickly, before we get going today, please head over to vegnews.com and vote for the Exam Room as Podcast of the Year. We are so honored to be nominated by VegNews for this award, their annual Veggie Awards. And Podcast of the Year is category number 38 of their big, long awards list. And voting only takes a second to do. And we have included a link for you to cast your ballot right now in the episode notes, or just head over to vegnews.com and click on Veggie Awards. So the Exam Room up for Podcast of the Year. We could not be more excited. And thank you, VegNews, for the honor. And thank you, Exam Roomie, for helping to continue to make the Exam Room one of the most consumed nutrition podcasts anywhere on the planet today. And today, speaking of which, we have with us a very special guest who is not only a dedicated mother of six, but also a passionate advocate for plant-based living. There were two events that really transformed Allie Essig's life. The sudden loss of her father, who passed away when he was just 55 years old, and her husband, who would suffer a stroke also at a very young age. And while her husband survived, these two events would combine to prove to be the catalysts for what made her more plant-wise, you see. Her new passion for health has blossomed, and she is now leading the way for not just her brood of children and healthy eaters at home, but also for her clients at her health coaching service called PlantWise. And we're going to get into what the extraordinary meaning is behind PlantWise. So today, Allie, this busy mother, is going to share the challenges and triumphs of raising children on a plant-based diet. And we're also going to get some of her practical tips for managing different eating preferences among all of those children, because you know there are some picky eaters in the house. And also the importance of controlling the foods that are available to them inside the home. But one of the things that I'm most jazzed up about during this interview is the way she talks about her use of technology to help meal plan in no time flat. You see, AI has become a staple in Allie's house, much like the pasta in her pantry. It is saving her hours of planning and cooking. And speaking of staples, we're also going to find out what her other pantry staples are, and get some delicious recipes along the way, and of course, how to put it all together to work brilliantly for a large family. So let's all get PlantWise together right now and raise our health IQs with Allie Essig on the Exam Room. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
First of all, you're kind of famous in the plant-based circles, PlantWise on YouTube and Instagram and all that stuff. Thanks for coming down and talking to the little peons here on the Exam Room.
Whatever. You guys are amazing. It's an honor to be here.
No, I'm really thrilled that you're here. How many kids do you have?
I have six children.
How in the world do you find time to do anything, Allie?
Luckily, they're all in school. So there's, you know, right now they're all in school and the teachers are handling them. And so it gives me this time.
All right. What's the age range?
So my oldest right now is 13. And then I have an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and twin 5-year-olds.
Girl, you got your hands full.
Yeah. And my heart is full too. But yes.
as any good mother should say. How difficult is it? First of all, I've had a number of parents on the show who talk about keeping it plant-based with their kids. Mm-hmm. Real talk, how difficult is that for you?
It's tricky in the sense of, you know, everyone has different tastes and preferences. I have one child that doesn't eat enough and one child that overeats. And, you know, so it's really hard to kind of manage all of those things. But if I can control what I buy, that's the biggest thing, is just really controlling the type of foods that I bring in the house. And then from there, it's like, okay, well, here are your options. You can choose from these. And they don't complain. Over time, they just learn, like, okay, I'll just make myself a sandwich if I don't like the dinner that you made.
Oh, you're good with that?
I'm not making two meals, so
all right.
If they don't want what I made, then they can make something themselves. You know, they're old enough to do that. But I make one meal, and most of my kids, most of the time, they all eat it. But every once in a while, I'll have a picky eater, and that's fine. You can choose something else, but I'm hands off.
You're not from the school of you're not leaving the table until all of those Brussels sprouts are off your plate.
No.
Okay. All right. That's cool. But let's introduce you to the exam room. This is your first time here on the show. Let's back it up a number of years. You have been married how many years now?
Oh, now you're hitting me on the spot. It's been...
Well, she did this to me right before we started taping as well. I had to crunch some numbers. Love you, Julie.
Oh, my gosh. I know. It has been... let's see. We got married in 2008.
Okay.
So what is that?
13. No, 17. 17. Yeah, 17. Yeah. That's what it is. 17.
There we go. Thank
right,
you.
Yeah, 17. Congrats. 17
Thanks.
Years.
Yeah.
I'm assuming not plant-based when you first got married.
No, not at all. In fact, even the thought of being a vegan is like, no, I would never do that. I know. Sorry.
And yet here you are on this
and
show.
Here I am. Yeah, I know.
Why the change?
Well, it started on, you know, just a regular day, October 1st, 2019, and I found myself rushing into the ER. I'd gotten a phone call that my husband wasn't doing okay, and they sent him to the ER. And I remember opening the door, scanning the room, trying to look for him, and I saw him. He was in the corner in a wheelchair, slumped over, and he looked like he'd aged 50 years.
Wow.
And in my heart, I knew right then, like, whoa, he looks like he just had a stroke. But, you know, what my heart knew, it took hours and hours and tests to figure out that it was confirmed that he did have a stroke and it was affecting his vision. And so it not only affected his vision that one day, but for many months afterwards. Mm. And so that's kind of what started this whole thing.
Yeah. My heart goes out to you. My wife is also a stroke survivor. She had a stroke just a few months before we met.
Wow.
To this day, she still struggles with her vision. She never got that back 100%.
Wow.
Yeah. So was your husband's stroke, was that a TIA or
no?
It was a full stroke.
It was a full stroke, okay. Yeah. Wow. I know. There was a lot of back and forth, but in the end, they said it was a full stroke, yeah.
Do you guys know what the precipitating factors were there?
So we did all the tests. There was no hole in his heart. That's the first thing they always check. Was there a hole in the heart? Was there a heart arrhythmia, a family history, you know, anything? And everything came back negative. We had no explanation. And I remember going home from the hospital, driving home, calling my mom and just being like, I don't know what our future is going to look like. I don't know if my husband's going to be able to work. He's an attorney here in DC. And so I wasn't sure how it would affect our whole life. And then I was kind of given this flashback as I was driving home when my mom had called me a few years ago about my dad. But it was a different result then. And during that phone call, she had told me that my dad had had a heart attack and he didn't make it. Hmm. And at that point, I remember just praying, like, please, God bless that, like, he can come back, that it will work out. And it didn't. You know, I just wanted my dad to have a second chance to be able to change his diet, to change anything. And so in that moment, I knew, okay, I did not get the second chance with my dad, but that mama bear in me was like, I am not losing my husband like I lost my dad.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do everything in my power, that what I can control, in order to prevent this from happening again. Because they said, you know, I'm sorry, but since he's had one stroke, he's at a higher risk of having another stroke in the future.
Absolutely. And your dad, he was a young man when he passed, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was just 55, his first and only heart attack.
Golly. So was he, I mean, typical standard American diet kind of guy?
Typical standard American. He had, a bigger belly, but a heart of gold. I miss him and think about him every day. You know,
yeah.
It's just, it was just the typical way of life. And so you didn't really think about it until things like this happen.
So even though that had happened, then when your husband had this stroke, I mean, leading up to it, were there any red flags that you noticed with him? Like, man, maybe we should eat a little bit better, exercise a little bit more.
Right. Well, that's the thing. We were exercising. He was biking into work, into D.C., you know, like this. Mm-hmm. So, but he did have, you know, you have your typical physical, and he went in for his physical, and his cholesterol was elevated. Mm-hmm. Not super high, but it was elevated. And they did say, hey, maybe you should consider exercising. And my husband was like, I exercise every day. Like, this is ridiculous. Almost to the point of not believing the doctors and thinking that cholesterol doesn't even matter.
Yeah. Isn't that wild? Like, mm-hmm. you hear about these stories of runners, marathoners who are having heart attacks, and they go in and they find out, you know, like, oh my gosh, you need like a quadruple bypass because your arteries are 95 to 100% blocked. It's just like, how? Yeah. How does this happen? I think a lot of us are kind of under the illusion that exercise kind of cures everything, but mm-hmm. as I've learned in doing this show, like, you can't outrun a Big Mac, you know?
Nope, yeah. You can't. It's so true.
Yeah. So what was the diet looking like at that time leading up to the stroke?
Well, I had just given birth to twin boys, and so we had both gained the twin baby weight. And, you know, it was typical. I had all the cravings for lots of cheese, all the things. But then we were trying to be healthier and both trying to lose the twin baby weight. And so I went on the typical like macro based plan, higher protein. Mm. So at the exact time of a stroke, we were eating kind of a higher protein diet.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Lots of meat. You know,
yeah,
like keto kind of deal.
Not too bad. No, like just kind of macros where you're making sure to hit your, you know, your certain protein numbers and fat and carbs.
I gotcha. Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, even though he's got the elevated cholesterol, like this just must have just floored you on this day.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And you know, and in the moment, that's just like trauma, right? So you're just trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to do with my kids and their sports activities, and how am I going to be to the doctor's appointments? Because I had to drive him, right? So I had to drive him to all the things. And luckily, we have a really great like church supportive network that really took care of all of our kids and everything else, and came over and babysat so I could drive him to appointments. But you know, the working, it's like, how is this going to affect him? He would try to work for a little bit and he just couldn't.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting. And his vision, he had double vision, and then over time it started to get a little better, but it was almost like a glass of water. Like at the top he could see well, but on the bottom it would be double vision. It was interesting.
Does he have, did all of that come back over time?
Months and months, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, after about 5-6 months. It actually, the week his vision came back was the week that the world shut down for COVID.
Oh, wow. Timing.
I know.
At what point did diet then come back into the conversation after you've had a chance to just kind of process where you're at? Mm-hmm. This is the road to recovery. When did you guys start scrutinizing the food you were eating?
Right. So in the hospital, I was super curious because, you know, I as a Pilates instructor, I've always been into health. I really want to be the healthiest version of myself. And so a dietitian gave us a piece of paper that's like, okay, from now on, you need to follow a heart healthy diet, which means, you know, no trans fat, no saturated fat, lower your trans fat, lower your cholesterol, lower your saturated fat, eat more fiber, no alcohol. And right. We weren't drinking alcohol anyway. And so I was like, that's great, but I literally don't know what to make. And so we would ask the doctor, and the doctor's like, oh no, maybe avoid cashews.
Yeah.
They had no idea. They had no idea. Looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh. But, you know, because my husband's like, well, I like to snack on cashews and I like my protein bars. He's like, yeah, don't eat the protein bars. You know, but there was no education at all. He was just kind of spitting off whatever he knew. But
yeah.
So it took, I would say, we didn't change anything for a month. Like, you just kind of need to heal. And all these other people were bringing us food and supporting us. And then it even almost stressed me out even more because I'm like, wait, I'm looking at what's high in saturated fat. Oh my gosh, they're bringing us the foods that we need to be avoiding. And I just had to take a step back and say, they're doing this out of love.
For sure.
And I need to accept that love, and then I'll worry about that later. Like right now I need love more than anything else.
For sure.
Support.
For sure. Yeah, there's something to be said for that comfort there. And you're absolutely right. It comes out of the goodness of the heart. But by and large, as a society, we're not educated about these things. The doctor didn't know. Like, I don't know, eat less cashews. Like you know, like I had a doctor once, I went to the ER for something, and like their answer was, well, eat a piece of salmon. And I'm just like, because that's going to fix the problem. It's like, I need stitches. You're telling me to eat salmon. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah. So I guess as you learned more and more and more, and you start to scrutinize everything, What made you gravitate over to plant-based? Because that's still a big jump from where you were to where you are now.
Right. And even then, the doctor had kind of suggested, okay, maybe the DASH diet. But for me, I think everyone has their story, you know, and when you have six kids, people always ask, okay, are you Catholic or are you Mormon?
Allie, that's a fair question. Yeah,
it's true. So I'm of the LDS faith. And so part of that is that I prayed a lot. I'm like, what do I do? You know, and it's interesting. We follow what's called a word of wisdom. That's why I wasn't drinking alcohol or doing drugs before. And in the word of wisdom, it also mentions that, you know, the beasts of the land, like the animals of the earth, are ordained for the use of man. Nevertheless, they should be used sparingly and only in times of, you know, winter, excess hunger and famine. And it's something that we all kind of ignore. We're like, oh yeah, it's in there. Is it in there though? Like, do we, you know, we all know, okay, we don't drink alcohol. We don't even drink coffee. Like we don't do drugs. And I think for many of us, it feels like that's almost too much to ask, but I think there's a lot of suggestions in there to eat more plants and to really, you know, like treat your body as a temple. And I just felt like this is what I needed to treat more seriously. Like for me, it was really the spiritual epiphany of like, oh, we're given this guidance. And yeah, it's not required, but the guidance is there. And when you're searching, when you like lack wisdom of what do I do? Like I'm in this health situation and I want more clarity. And I was like directed to search the scriptures, you know, and that it's in there. And so for me, I was like, okay, like plant-based is the way in the sense of eating meat sparingly or not at all is probably the best thing for health. And also as I learn more, also for the planet, also for animal welfare, you know, there was so much that I'm like, I just wish that more people really could ask God and be like, what do you want? You know, what do you think is best for everyone here?
Right on. Mm-hmm. I think also maybe your mama bear instinct kicks in and like, we have to do this for my husband's health because like he is not going to suffer the same fate as my dad.
Yeah.
So you're ready to make the change. How was it received on his end? When you went to him and say, hey, honey.
I know.
Yeah.
Luckily, my husband loves beans. So I think that's where I like got, and I was like, look, we both were afraid of tofu. And so, but we're like, we like beans, you know? And so I really just started experimenting more with beans where instead of, you know, making my typical chicken recipes, I would just use chickpeas instead.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I would make a lot of Mexican-based dishes with black beans. My husband loves black beans. So it was easy. We started with what we knew and what we liked before we ventured into things like tofu and tempeh and TVP and soy curls, you know, like all of those weird things, at least were weird to me back then. Beans were safe, you know, so that's where we started. And we knew that you can Google anywhere, okay, how to reduce your cholesterol, eat more beans. Like it was clear. And for him, it was his vision. And he was like, I'll do anything. You know, he grew up, so he was one of 11 in his household.
So was my mom.
What?
Yeah. All right. So she's from the Catholic background. So like, that's why I'm really laughing when you said that. So okay. Yeah. Okay. So I get it. I get it. Massive family reunions.
Massive family. Yeah. It's so fun. It's so fun. But with that, the food was all about, you know, quantity, not quality. So he wasn't a foodie, which is to our benefit in that sense. He didn't really care about, you know, specific taste of food. He wasn't really passionate about that. So it helped in the sense of, let's just, you know, try this out. And now it's funny. Now he's actually more of a foodie. Like he's very specific on, you know, he really likes it to be healthy. Like he's so specific on how he feels afterwards. Like last night I made something. He's like, this is so good. And then I mentioned that I put some Impossible Burger in it because the kids weren't eating it. And sometimes that's my trick. Mm. If they don't eat it, then I'll make it the next day for leftovers, but I'll add in some fake meat and then they'll eat it. So. But as soon as he found that out, he's like, oh, it feels too heavy. I don't want to eat it.
Right on. Keep it clean, man.
You know?
Yeah. You got to do you. Like, I can't tell you the last time I had an Impossible anything. Like, I'm kind of like him. It's just like, I like the cleanest flavor possible.
Totally.
My palate has totally shifted. Mm-hmm. And I think that if I were to ever try any, like, real meat again, I'd probably, like, vomit. Like, it's just the taste probably is not what I remember at all.
Right. Yeah. Well, and even if the taste is good, like my husband a couple years ago, he went to In-N-Out, you know, with friends, and he was like, I am physically ill. Like afterwards,
man.
Like he just kind of needed that, like a reminder that, yes, it tastes good in the moment, but afterwards, it's just not worth how your gut microbiome has changed. Like you feel so gross.
For real. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't even mess with the vegan stuff on the Taco Bell menu. It's just like I just don't think I could do it.
No.
So what about the kids though? Because like I mean, obviously at that point the twins are super young. Really, all of your kids were still super young at that point. Was that a challenge for them? I mean, you just mentioned like if they won't eat it, I'll add the impossible meat. But like, how big of a change was it for those guys?
Yeah, luckily the babies were just great. I mean, they were 9 months old at the time. The twins were awesome. That was like no big deal. The older kids, it was a little harder. My daughter loves chicken nuggets, loved them, and would just keep asking, like, when are you going to buy more chicken nuggets? Oh, I don't know. I'll get to it. You know, I never went to them, and I'm like, from here on out, you know, we're not going to eat that ever again. It was just one day at a time.
Right.
I'm just going to take it one day at a time. Maybe I'll add it, because I wasn't really sure. And, you know, and when I got that spiritual revelation, it was like, well, sparingly, I guess if I absolutely need it, I could pull it back in. But in the sense of the kids just got used to it. And I just had to be more creative, where I used to always make cheese quesadillas. Like, that was my go-to, easy lunch, you know, the chicken nuggets for the kids. And so I had to be like, okay, what's just as fast that is better for you? And I'm like, well, I can put beans in salsa and add it in a wrap. That's just as fast as a cheese quesadilla.
For sure.
You know? And they all like beans too, which is helpful. They all liked it. And but my one daughter who loved chicken eggs, she's still really picky to this day. But she has so much more of a variety that she's eating now. I mean, it's been years. It's been 5 years, and she is still like won't eat some things, but will eat a lot more than she used to.
All right, I want to ask you about like this busy schedule, because like I just imagine you, it's like in the mornings, a big old lunch line in the kitchen, just like putting everybody's lunch together, and like you're just like hairs on fire trying to get everybody to the school bus on time, whatever. But before we get to that, I want to ask you about like, is it really? Do the kids feel judged at all, like eating this way? Because it's so counter to, I'm sure, what a lot of their friends are eating. And if you roll up with a wrap with the beans and the salsa, which admittedly I think would taste awesome, it's not going to be like the ham and cheese sandwich that little Johnny is eating for lunch either.
Right, right. So this is important, I think, when you have lots of children, is I can control what's in my house. And when they're outside of my house, like, if they want to choose something else, that's their choice.
Okay.
So I don't buy anything. If they're making their own lunch, there's no options. But if they're like, Mom, I really, really want school lunch, I'm like, okay. You know, that's your choice. I will control what I can control, and then the rest is up to them. And I want them to be able to feel the difference in their bodies and to notice. And my daughter, my oldest daughter, and, you know, sometimes there's this cookie shop that we go to when we visit family, and she's like, I can't eat those cookies. Like, I feel ill, you know, like she is noticing the difference in her body. Or when she goes to a friend's house and she has all the candy and all the treats and soda, and she's like, literally came home one day and threw up. Like, it just, you know. And so I think they need to learn this on their own, and so I can control that. So in that sense, they don't like, their friends do make fun of their mom for being on YouTube. I will say that some of them found out I have a YouTube channel, and they're like,
but then they saw the subscriber count and they're like, dude, your mom's famous.
Oh man, yeah, it's they're proud of it, but they're also slightly embarrassed, but it's okay.
If it wasn't YouTube, it'd be something else.
Right,
you're the mom,
right.
You're gonna embarrass them.
I know, that's our job in life.
Get over it, kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so how do you though like keep it like quick so that you don't have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to start this long, arduous process to make sure everybody has something on the go, or, you know, everybody's coming home at night, right? Yeah. So forget school lunch, because if they choose to buy it there.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming everybody's sitting down at the table together and like, you don't have a lot of time. You got a growing empire, you know, like you got other stuff to do. You're a Pilates instructor. Like, come on.
That's the thing. I was all about, you know, I grew up in a home where it was kind of more of the if it came from a bag or a box, that's kind of how my mom preferred to cook, just because it was faster and easier.
Yeah.
And so naturally, that's how I tend to prefer to cook, but in a whole food plant-based way. So it's like, what can I dump and go? Like, yes, I know that if I buy the garlic and peel it myself and cut it myself, I know that I can get so many more benefits, but I'm just going to buy that minced garlic. you know, and put it in. Like, there's just some things that I'm like, I know that's better, but I have 6 children and I have to make this work for my family. And so I'm big on dump and go meals. Like, that's kind of how I make it work, whether it's with the crock pot, whether it's the Instant Pot, even just in a one pot meal. How can I make it easier? In fact, a lot of times I'll look at these amazingly delicious vegan meals and I'm like, how can I make that more simple?
Yeah.
You know, and I know I'll miss out on that tiny little benefit of tasting a little bit better, but it's like, yeah, I have basketball to go to and soccer and all these other things. I'm tracing my kids around to all these other locations. So I try to do it while they're at school a lot of the time and just get dinner ready. And in the mornings, if they make their own school lunches, that's
do they really?
Oh yeah, I'm not making that for them. Like,
God,
they
bless
make their
you.
Own school lunches. Yeah.
Holy smokes! All right, I like you even more now. You're making your own damn lunch. All right, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. Are you a big fan of batch cooking as well? So like dump and go, you talk about the crock pot.
Right.
I'm sure a family of, so 8 people in the house, I'm sure that a full crock pot doesn't last as long as it may for my wife and I.
Yeah.
But yeah, is it even possible with a family of 6 kids?
To batch cook?
Yeah.
No, I don't batch cook.
All right.
I think sometimes I'll make a bunch of rice and then I can use that. Or if I batch cook anything, it's like rice or potatoes, but that's it.
Gotcha.
And there's leftovers. Like, there's usually enough leftovers for lunch, and so they'll take the lunch, you know, leftovers for school. At least my teenage boy, who now is in middle school, where they have a microwave. So
the kids have access to a microwave.
That's why everyone's like, "How's middle school?" He's like, "It's great. They have a microwave."
In 2025, it's still the little things that matter the most, right? That's so cool. No way. Yeah. No, we had no microwave. Like, if we had to, like, I would have to beg a teacher to, like, let me sneak into the teacher's lounge. And even then, with permission, I'd be getting the side eye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like,
for
you're
sure.
a student. You shouldn't be in here. It's like,
I know.
Whatever.
I know.
Whatever. So that's really good to know. So, like, are you on a set schedule that's like, all right, the kids are going to be home at, just say, 3:00. So I know at, like, 1:30, it's time to get down to business in the kitchen. Is that kind of what you do?
I'm not an organized person. This is funny that I'm saying.
Welcome to my world. What's up, girl?
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not super organized. I'm not, like, I don't plan ahead. When people tell me I can never eat plant-based, I have to follow a meal plan. I'm like, no, you don't. You don't need to follow a meal plan. You don't need a batch cook. You don't need to have everything figured out. You know, you can decide. This is the beauty of plant-based cooking, is I can decide 20 minutes before, and I bet you that I have all the ingredients in my pantry. Because once you have nutritional yeast and you have, like, you know, diced tomatoes and you have your beans on hand, you really have so many options. I think the secret is having a stocked pantry.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and a lot of it, it's like, what do I feel like eating? What do the kids feel like eating? What do you guys want? Pasta. Cool. All right, I'll make my tofu Alfredo because I always have a bunch of tofu. You know, like, there's, yeah.
Time out. Tofu Alfredo, do share the recipe. Talk to us.
It's so good.
My God. Yeah.
It's so good.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
I know.
How do we make it? Is it on your YouTube channel?
It is. It's multiple times. Yeah.
Okay.
That and my lasagna soup is like 2 go-tos. And Wisconsin cauliflower soup is also a really good one that everyone who tries it, they love. So there's, you know.
What is lasagna soup?
Lasagna soup, I mean, you use lentils, you use nutritional yeast, obviously. And the one thing, we were talking about this before, the one thing is I do like to use salt. And so sometimes I get a lot of comments that I use salt, but I got to make it taste good for my kids and make it flavorable. And so it's not overly salted, but I do add a lot of flavor to my meals.
I would think that it would still be far less salt than like eating something from a restaurant or prepackaged or, you know, whatever the case may be. Yeah.
For sure. 100%. Yes.
Yeah. So, all right. So the lentils are in there. Like, I'm just like, walk us through this. Cause like, I've never heard of lasagna soup before.
You've never heard of lasagna soup?
I've never heard of lasagna soup.
Okay. I'm like, sending you my recipe. Yes.
Please. Like, walk me through the novice. So we've got the lentils. Are you using actual lasagna noodles?
Yes, you have to. It's lasagna soup.
I don't know. I've never had it. You know?
Yeah. And you use marinara sauce. You can use, like, if you want to do unsweetened soy milk or coconut milk, just a little bit to make it a little more creamy. But it really is. A lot of it is like a veggie bouillon paste that brings in a lot of the flavor. And then spices, Italian seasoning. I mean, it doesn't take much. You'd be surprised.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to drop links to your video for lasagna soup.
Yeah.
The tofu Alfredo.
Tofu Alfredo,
right?
Yeah.
That's going to go in the episode notes. What was the other one?
Wisconsin cauliflower soup.
Does that have a cheesy flavor to it?
I know, right? Wisconsin. Yeah. I mean, we use cashews. So cashews, nutritional yeast.
Yeah. All right, we're going to put that one in there. All right, What are your other go-tos?
Those are because we host a lot. I think with our church, I'm always like, you know, trying to welcome everyone. And so we host plant-based dinners all the time. So I'll always do like a soup and salad night, and we'll have lasagna soup, Wisconsin soup.
No way.
We'll do just grain bowls. So we do a lot of, you know, just I make a lot of beans. So I'll do a huge pot of beans in my Instant Pot. And whether it's pinto beans, black beans, all the varieties of beans, and then people just bring whatever they want to add on. I love it because that way I can still host comfortably without feeling like, you know, people are going to feel uncomfortable. If they want to bring meat, then they can, because they know that we're not making it.
Yeah. All right. I kind of dig that about you, right? So it's like you're non-judgmental about it. Like people have to do you. And I think that, you know, we get the question all the time, like, how can I convince so-and-so to go vegan? And I think like that the best thing you can say to that person is like, they have to want to do it, and there's nothing you can say. And I don't know to this day why it's so controversial. It is. It's like still a taboo word in most households. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you're non-judgmental and you're not preachy, I think that that would open people's eyes even more.
100%. Right? Yeah, they always ask questions like, oh, so why do you guys eat this way? And, you know, and it's nice. It's kind of nice that my husband had a stroke, because I can be like, oh, we had a stroke. So people aren't judgmental about us either.
Right. They're
like, oh, health reasons, which is nice. But yeah, I think it's just having the option. And it's what you brought up, I think, is so important. I have a membership where I help women just really stay on track with eating plant-based.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. Like, how do I get my husband to, I'm like, ignore your husband, like clear up all that mental space.
Ignore your husband.
In your mind.
Every wife's dream message.
If he wants to eat it, he can go buy it. But like you focus on you being the healthiest version of you. And once your husband notices how healthy you are, you're losing weight, you have energy, he'll be like, okay, whatever you're doing is working. I want it.
Yeah.
But you have to change you first. You have to focus on you. And that's like the biggest thing. And then people notice, and then they're more willing to change. Yeah.
And it seems like, I think maybe I'm not a parent, but I would think even more so, the idea of focusing on yourself first almost would feel selfish to a lot of people, because you have to give and give and give and make sure everybody else is taken care of. And you put yourself last all the time, right? Was that hard for you?
Oh, yeah. I think in fact, I had a conversation with Dr. Yami, and it was so helpful, because even as a mom of six, I'm like super worried. Because like I said, I have one child that's a little overweight, one child that's underweight, one child that's really picky, another child, you know, like all of the things.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, what do I do as a mom? And she said, your only responsibility is to create healthy habits and behaviors. That's it. Let go of the rest. And so I'm just teaching them healthy habits. It's really healthy to eat lots of fruits and vegetables. And they watch, you know, that we exercise, and I want them to be outside and do those things. But how much they eat, that's up to them. And so I just have to create these learning opportunities. And same thing with my spouse. I can't control what he's eating at work. I can't control if he's, you know, taking other attorneys out and going to a steak place and ordering steak. Like, I can't control that, but I can control what food I'm bringing in my home, what I'm making for dinner, and how healthy I choose to be.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's like, it just clears up so much mental space when you can let go of all of that.
Right on, right on. That's a great, great thing. All right, let's wrap up with this, my friend. Want to bring it back to busy on the go, some other tips, some other tricks, because I'm sure there are a lot of other moms out there that are in your world, and they're like, how in the hell does she make this work? So how do you make that work? Excuse my language. How do you make that work?
I think it's knowing why you're doing it. When you have a strong enough why, you can get through anyhow. And so if it wasn't for losing my dad and my husband, I'm like, look, this is just worth it. This is worth it. I know it's hard at first to not just make my cheese quesadilla, but the why is worth it. You know, my spiritual why, like having that like confirmed to me is key. And so, and then you just have to, again, start with what you know. It's like, okay, I used to always make this chicken, cashew chicken recipe, and it's just with chickpeas instead. That was so easy and everyone loved it and ate it. Okay, I can make that recipe again.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like one meal, one day at a time, and that makes it doable.
Right on. Or what are your go-tos that you always have in the pantry that you know, like, if you, and you admitted you're not the most organized person, so you just kind of pull the, you know, ideas like last minute out of the top of your head. So
yeah,
what do you know is always going to be in that pantry that you can just rely on?
Dry beans, canned beans, Because sometimes if I have it, if I plan like an hour ahead, I can make a dry bean. I don't even soak my beans because I know. I don't soak them. I don't do it. Instant Pot is for. So I'll make dry beans. Canned beans are always there. I always have nutritional yeast. I always have, lately too, I've been using more TVP just to throw in to have a little bit more protein into something that doesn't usually have a lot of protein. I always have brown rice. Lately, I've even added white rice. I know. just for quicker meals. I'm like, I can make this faster if I really need to. In my fridge, I always have a bunch of tofu. I'm lucky my kids and my family now likes tofu, but I had to experiment. And I have a really good tofu nugget recipe that I'll send you to.
We'll add that down below. All right.
You know, so I always have tofu. All my kids will love that. Pasta is a big one. I really like the protein pasta that have come out where it's like a mix of different type of lentils and beans to so it tastes normal. And my kids love pasta, so that's a go-to. Cool. But it's either pasta, a rice-based thing, potatoes. I always have potatoes on hand. And I think about the starch first. It's like, okay, what is the starch? Like, what am I going to use? Rice? Am I going to use pasta, potatoes, or bread? I like, sourdough bread to have.
Oh, so good.
And so if I know that, okay, if it's going to be bread, then I'll do a soup. If it's going to be rice, it's like, do I want to do like teriyaki? Do I want to do just beans and rice? Do I want to do, Asian-based or Mexican-based? Okay, tacos. We do have a lot of tacos. I have tortillas.
I got kids, and they're so good. Tacos. I mean, like, what kid doesn't like tacos, for goodness sake? What person doesn't like tacos?
Seriously.
Right, come on.
Seriously.
That's a taco.
And the biggest thing, too, is fruits and vegetables. I always try to have, a fruit with the meal, too, like just apples, bananas. It's like the basic stuff that most of us have anyway, but trying to include that, strawberries, blueberries, and just having those options. We have oatmeal for breakfast. We have breakfast is kind of, my kids are weird. Sometimes they'll just have leftovers. Like today, that's what they had leftovers. So it just depends on how they feel. We do a lot of pancakes. Waffles, pancakes.
Also tasty.
Yeah. Smoothies. I'll make smoothies.
Oh, right on.
I know. I love throwing tofu in smoothies. It makes it so creamy.
A little creamier. Yeah.
So frozen fruit. Always have frozen fruit. Frozen cauliflower, because you can throw that into smoothies to make it good. Frozen veggies. Always have peas and corn. And, when I go shopping, I just buy my basics. And then from there, I use ChatGPT and say, I want to have a pasta dish. Here's what I have. And ChatGPT comes up with a recipe for me.
You would be surprised. you probably wouldn't be surprised to know that I have heard from so many recipe curators, other YouTubers who create the recipes from ChatGPT.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been doing that a lot lately. Sometimes it does me wrong, but... But even my grocery list are all like, especially for a YouTube video, I'm having to think. That's the one thing I do have to plan in advance. So I'll plan what I'm going to make for my YouTube video, and then I'll have, okay, these are the ChatGPT, make me a recipe for this. Like, this recipe has chicken in it, but turn it, should I do tofu or chickpeas?
Yeah.
And it will come up with a recipe for me, which is fantastic, and swap out from the just regular to the vegan. And then I'll have it make me a grocery list. So then I say, okay, here are the three recipes, make me a grocery list, and then I just go. I mean, ChatGPT is amazing.
That is a major time
every mom's
saver.
Tool. Yes, every mom should be using it.
Wow. Okay. So if you take nothing away other than that from today's episode, let it be ChatGPT is your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Plantwise.com. You mentioned that you work with people. You got some other great stuff up there. What's cooking at your website?
Yeah. So my goal, after we went through all of this, my goal is to help other people transition to have a program where what I wanted at the time, where I could get recipes and learn, because it's such a big learning curve, especially at the beginning. So I really, in particular, help people transition, whether it's for losing weight or for health issues, that they are like, I want to eat plant-based. I'm not trying to convince them. Like, they already have read How Not to Die or all these other amazing books, but they just need support.
Yeah.
And so that's where we wanted to create more of a support system. But I also have, free resources on YouTube and Instagram, where it's like, if you just need meal ideas, okay, well, I want to have that for you too. Like, my goal in life is to bring this message, the benefits of eating more plants, to millions of people.
Cool.
And it can be doable even if you have a large family or no time or, don't like certain foods.
Yeah. I get the plant buys now. Mm-hmm. W-H. why.
Yeah, why? Why you should be eating more plants.
Yeah. The why, that's big for you. Yeah. Why? Why am I here? Why am I doing this?
If you have a strong enough why, you can get through anyhow.
I dig it. Allie, you're awesome. Thank you so much. This was long overdue.
Yeah, it's good to see you. This is awesome. We both are in the D.C. area.
I know. We should hang more. Give me an invite to one of your big get-togethers.
Perfect.
Let's break some sourdough bread.
I love it. Awesome. I love it.
Thanks, Allie.
Yeah.
So Allie has been kind enough to offer a free 1 month membership to any exam roomie who would like to work with her at PlantWise right now. You can get that complimentary month by clicking the link that is in the episode notes. PlantWise is phenomenal, so please absolutely take advantage of that. Again, to get that complimentary 1 month membership for free right now, just click the link that is in the episode notes. And I also want to give Allie some kudos for something that I thought was absolutely brilliant. I mean, we're talking about Mensa level brilliance here. Watching the recipe for her lasagna soup, and I still don't know how I didn't know lasagna soup was a thing until recently, but I'm so glad that she turned me on to this. But in this recipe, she had the most brilliant hack of all hacks. You know, if you're making pasta sauce and you open the can of tomato paste and then you scoop it out, but it never wants to come out in a whole clump. It's like you scoop and you scoop and you scoop and you scoop, and it still just clings to the side of the can, like static clings to your clothes out of the dryer if you don't use a dryer sheet. Well, what Allie did was she opened the can at the top, and then she took the can opener and also opened the bottom of the can. Now, she took the top off of the top of the can, and then she used the bottom lid and she pushed the tomato paste out of the can using this lid, and it all came out in one clump beautifully. Such a time saver. You don't have to scoop around with a spoon time and time and time again, or add some hot water and try to break it up and get it into the recipe. No, you just push it right on through. This was absolutely genius. And if you would like somebody to write Allie a letter of recommendation for you to join Mensa, I would be happy to craft something. I am not a Mensa member by any stretch of the imagination, but what you have done qualifies as genius in my book and should be acknowledged as such. So there is a link to see the lasagna soup recipe and the hack and all of the recipes that Allie was talking about today. All of those links right now are in the episode notes. So cool. So cool. Hey, you want to be like Allie and become a leader in the plant-based health industry? Well, this is your opportunity to become a Food for Life instructor. Your one and only opportunity for 2025, as a matter of fact. You can join our growing team of plant-based advocates and improve the health of people in your community right now. Applications are open to partake in our Food for Life instructor training course, and it offers an excellent small business opportunity for people who are like us, enthusiastic about health and wellness and disease prevention, and they want to share this passion with others so that they too can lead a healthier life. And the cool thing about Food for Life also is that you can take this training and you can take it to an organization or a business who's looking to improve the health of their employees, and you can teach classes there. And that makes this an excellent side business opportunity for you, my friend. So the deadline to apply to become a Food for Life instructor is February 7th. And you can head to fftraining.org to apply, or click the link that is in the episode notes, fftraining.org, or just click the link in the episode notes. And as you're perusing the web, don't forget to please also vote for The Exam Room as Podcast of the Year in the 2025 Veggie Awards from Veg News. So honored to be nominated this year. We are category number 38. That is the best podcast category. And if you could head over to vegnews.com and click on Veggie Awards and cast your ballot, we would definitely appreciate that. Thank you guys so very much for your continued support of the show. And for today, that is going to wrap things up. I want to say thank you one more time to the future Mensa member and the incredible founder of PlantWise, Allie Essig, for being here with us today. And for everyone at the Physicians Committee, I am the weight loss champion, Chuck Carroll. Thank you so very much for listening. And remember, as always, keep it plant-based.